Good afternoon. It's 19 minutes after 5 o'clock. Light rain, some fog and mist with 57 degrees Fahrenheit on the thermometer this Friday afternoon. I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News for September 20th, 2013. A Coast Guard crew evacuated a 72-year-old woman from the cruise ship Diamond Princess yesterday. A helicopter from Air Station Sitka met up with the 952-foot vessel in Icy Strait. According to Coast Guard video, the incident happened around 6:45 p.m. The crew of the ship reported the woman was experiencing convulsions. She was hoisted aboard an MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter and flown to Sitka. EMS transported her to Sitka Community Hospital for further care. Seas were calm at the time of the medevac with 12-mile-an-hour winds and a 6-mile visibility. Icy Strait is about 100 miles north of Sitka. You can see the Coast Guard video of that hoist on our website, kcaw.org. A teacher at Mount Edgecombe High School is competing for a seat on Sitka's school board. Stephen Courtright teaches music at the state-run boarding school. He says helping make policy for local schools is a way to contribute to the community and bring in a teacher's perspective. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has this profile.
No one twisted Stephen Courtright's arm to make him run for school board, and it's not about grinding an axe over one school policy or another.
This is mostly a matter of walking the talk.
Like many candidates, the 31-year-old teacher and part-time bartender simply decided to turn thought into action.
I'm one of those people who frequently says somebody should be doing this. And you know, I think somebody should be representing this, or somebody should be speaking out about these issues. And it came a point when I realized that somebody might be me.
That Courtright teaches at Mount Edgecombe adds another dimension to his campaign. The boarding school is run by the State Department of Education and not the local school board. He jokes that he has many friends who work for Sitka's public schools and that he wouldn't mind setting policy for them, but those policies would not apply to him. Courtright says it's his work rather than his workplace that voters should consider.
There are things I would like to see happen at Mount Edgecombe that I don't have the power to make happen at Mount Edgecombe. But that's pretty much neither here nor there when it comes to the Sitka School District. I believe that it's every member of the community's responsibility to ensure that the public schools stay at the highest caliber possible. And I do believe that as an educator myself, a professional who's trained to know what's happening in the classroom, I have a unique perspective that isn't currently represented on the board.
Courtright has two young children, ages 4 and 7, just beginning their school careers. As all parents of children farther along in the system know, a free public education begins to cost more and more as students become involved in activities. The policy in Sitka has been to educate the whole child. Even faced with declining enrollment and a shrinking budget, Sitka schools have parted with few activities programs and even added some. Courtright questions this approach.
It seems to me that if you've got difficulty making ends meet, spreading thinner isn't always the best solution.
Two of the most recent programs adopted by the district are high school soccer and football. Courtright calls them high ticket, but doesn't single them out as being the only expensive activities. He's worried that a tiered system is evolving in the schools that allows only the better off students access to some programs.
I don't think pay-to-play sports are the way to go. If we can't afford for every student to be able to participate and travel, maybe we shouldn't be having that team.
And funding remains one of the district's biggest challenges. Some key legislative assignments last year went to freshman representatives who have questioned the public education model. Courtright says the schools still have important friends like Jonathan Christ Tompkins and Bert Stedman who have helped organize regional political coalitions. He says Sitka School Board should step to the plate.
You know, we do need to be able to play political hardball. We're the little guys, and the big guys are all coming from the rail belt now. So it's not an easy situation for us, being on an island that nobody likes to think about, and the majority of them see us as this little blue outpost of cruise ship dollars, and they don't really think about us as in need of money and help. But here we are, and yes, we are.
Courtright is challenging a two-term incumbent for a seat on the board, but he's quick to say that this election is not about removing Lon Garrison. The two are close on things like the role of public schools and educating the whole child. Their differences so far have to do with the role of the superintendent and technology in schools. On this latter issue, Courtright favors more targeted purchases like iPads for the classrooms and teachers who want them. The district's recent history, though, has been to make sweeping technology purchases like Promethean boards and hope teachers adopt them. Courtwright believes this is a symptom of top-down decision-making, and a candidate like him is the cure.
I think the biggest issue in general is that there's too much policy being made at every level without the involvement of the people who are in the classroom.
The municipal election is Tuesday, October 1st. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can find a link to previous reporting about Sitka's school board candidates and their opinions on hiring a new superintendent at our website, kcaw.org. You can also check out all of our past election coverage there and learn about some forums that are coming up in the days ahead. The Southeast Conference wants to change the way the Tongass National Forest is managed. The Regional Development Advocacy Organization is developing a strategy to grow the timber industry and create jobs while maintaining environmental protections. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports from the Southeast Conference's annual meeting going on this week here in Sitka.
Conference leaders say the U.S. Forest Service is failing to do its job. That, in the organization's view, is to sell enough timber to support a strong regional wood products industry.
We're trying to open up the landscape to a management strategy that is changing over time.
Shelley Wright is executive director of the Southeast Conference, made up of business, government, and tribal leaders, as well as interested individuals.
Rather than set aside a big chunk for logging and a big chunk for no logging, open up all of the regulated set-asides and use it as a flexible forest.
National monuments, designated wilderness, and some other protected areas would stay the same. Buffer zones would still be required near beaches, streams, and rivers. But Wright says many other parts of the Tongass would be open for multiple and sometimes changing uses.
A stand of trees doesn't have to be 150 years old to be habitat. Different habitat is good for different times of year, different kinds of animals. So we want them to manage it, actively manage and monitor all parts of the forest for habitat and economic development.
I think they're looking backwards to recreate the glory days of timber on the Tongass, which unfortunately are over.
Andrew Tomes is executive director of the Sitka Conservation Society, which has been part of the forest management debate.
The Tongass produced a record number of salmon this past year that created a ton of jobs and a ton of economic activity from the fisheries. I think that the Southeast Conference wants to ignore the fact that all these salmon come from the forest and that they're produced because of the protections that we have on the salmon streams.
And, by the way, he says the forest does take 150 years or longer to fully mature. The existing Tongass management plan has been developed over years of public debate. It's attracted attention from national environmental organizations and has been driven in part by policy calls from Washington, D.C. So what does the Forest Service think of the conference's strategy?
I believe that it's a legitimate proposal.
Tongass Forest Supervisor Forrest Cole hasn't seen the conference's formal proposal, though he's talked to its authors.
I believe over the life of the current forest plan, we've probably looked at 30 or 40 different alternatives, and I'm guessing that if we get into a modification of the plan in the near future, we'll look at a wide variety again. So having a recommendation from Southeast Conference for looking at alternatives is a welcome proposal for us.
The conference hired Canadian timber consultant Don Reimer to do the research to back up its approach. He says the strategy could increase timber jobs from under 500 to more than 2,000 over a number of years. He also says it would save taxpayers money.
We think that would basically be able to eliminate most of the cash drain that you have on the Tongass because you'd now have an active timber program like you used to have in the past that should pay for the restoration work and some of that stuff that needs to be done instead of having a drain on the treasury.
Southeast Conference leaders acknowledge their approach could be a hard sell. That's why they hired Willis Lyford of Anchorage-based Percaro Communications to spread their message.
We need to change the debate and the discussion about the timber industry in Alaska. And that takes a lot of hard work and a lot of research and a lot of study and people who are experts.
The company recently polled Southeast and other Alaskans to gauge their views of the industry. He shared results indicating strong support for logging, including its expansion. But it also showed concerns about environmental damage and other impacts. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from the Southeast Conference's annual meeting in Sitka.
The newly remodeled Otis Theater is going to stage its first musical in decades this fall. The Sitka Fine Arts Camp has launched a new program called the Young Performers Theater. Auditions will be held tomorrow for the company's first show, The Adventures of Beatrix Potter and Her Friends. Elspeth Poe is the director of the company and the show. She says there's a lot more to it than a well-known big band number performed by Peter Rabbit.
Jemima Puddle Duck's another pretty popular one. Jeremy Fisher. We're doing The Two Bad Mice and also The Tailor of Gloucester.
Poe will cast between 12 and 50 actors. Performers between the ages of 7 and 18 are eligible to try out. Poe herself comes from a theater family. She's a graduate of the Southern Oregon University Theater Program in Ashland. She says there are rewards to being in theater that many don't realize.
It's a really wonderful community building exercise, I think, for our youth, because you are a family. You become this group who you have to put on a production together, and every single member of that team is important.
Sitka Fine Arts Camp director Roger Schmidt says he's been thinking about an after-school theater program for a long time, maybe since childhood, when he watched shows on the old Allen Hall stage at Sheldon Jackson.
Jan Craddock and her daughter Elaine did theater there for years and years and really just kept this spirit of theater going. So that's definitely in the back of my mind. I remember as a kid, seeing their productions and having friends that were part of their productions, and anything that our organization can do to sort of, you know, re-spirit the space with theater again is really important to me.
Auditions will be held at the Yaw Chapel. You can find a link to the complete audition information at our website, kcaw.org.